Welcome to another episode of the Well Women Podcast. I am Dr. Laura, founder of the Period Passport online program and her Time of the Month membership.
And I'm Ashley LeClaire, mental health coach and owner of ALC Wellness.
Hey, Ashley.
Hey.
It's been a while. We have not done an episode together in quite some time, so we thought we'd jump on and get back to the basics a bit with the two of us. Ashley, what's new in ALC?
I feel like so much is new. Like, we keep trying to record, but then we get on video chat together and we are just like sidetracked by all the amazing things that we have going on, which is really exciting. I think one of the biggest pieces that has been new for me and been really, really cool is actually this sweater initiative that I've done. So I'm actually just going to show you. So I designed these for those of you who are just listening, you can't see this, but I designed these really comfy oversized sweaters, and it says Youth Matter, but how they're developed is it's actually supposed to be You Matter and Youth Matter. Check it out on my Instagram so you can see the logo. It makes more sense that way. But what I did was I designed these so that I could raise money for young people whose family cannot afford support. So I was running into situations where I was working with teens and their families, for whatever reason, obviously with COVID being very challenging, they were having a hard time paying for my sessions. And I never want people to not be able to access support. So I decided, okay, we got to get creative here. So I put out a call for people and said, listen, I need some help. I wanted to give something tangible because I think that's a big thing. I didn't just want to ask for money. I wanted to give something tangible so people could actually, you know, feel engaged with this project. And I have raised almost $2,000 so far.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Did you not know that? Yeah. Really good.
Last time we did, it was like 700, I think.
Yeah. So really good. So I had some people who donated like large lump sums, which was really nice. I had some people who bought, you know, one sweater, two sweaters, four sweaters, all over the map. So I'm really excited. This morning, I actually went and delivered the first round of them. And I have quite a few more that are being made and will be delivered soon. So really, really exciting stuff. I have one youth in particular that is already using these free sessions, and she's been super grateful for them. So it's just been awesome. Anyways, I'll stop talking about it. But if anyone wants a sweater, hit me up.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about how they can get the sweaters, how much the sweaters are, how much of it's.
Sure. Yeah. So they're $40. 100% of the profits go to youth sessions. So what that means is I'm keeping that money in a pot when young people come and there's any sort of financial issue. We use that to cover their full cost. To get a sweater, you can just go to my Instagram, alc.wellness, and you'll be able to see everything on there. It's super easy and laid out for you. Otherwise, you can just shoot me a message and I'm happy to work that out with you.
I love that. I think it's a great initiative. I'm so proud of you that you've raised so much money. Like, I think, honestly, I didn't even know this was a thing. I think I was on Instagram and I saw it and I was like, wait.
Because I didn't tell you, because this is what I do. I have really great ideas, but they happen so fast. So I'm like, I have an idea and I'm like, do it now. And then I'm just like, bam, 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 bam. And I get it out. And then people in my life, like my parents and you, like I talk to you like all day, every day. And they're like, when did you do this? And I was like, oh, I just had a really good idea and went really hard for a few hours.
You know what? That's literally like me too, depending on what it is. But usually like people in my life know I'm doing it, you know?
Yeah, I just buckle down and don't talk to anyone for a few hours and just shoot it out.
And honestly, I would rather this type of thing be something that you just do on a whim. I think that's great. You do productive helping projects on a whim. So
thank you.
Amazing. So I wanted to really shed light on that because I think that's a really, really great initiative that you have going on. I'm super excited about it.
Thank you. What's new with you?
Well, Her Time of the Month has changed a little bit in format. I took all of the wonderful members right now, I took their feedback. And for those who don't know, I built the functionality of the membership site myself. And I am not a tech wizard, but like I did my best, but it just wasn't, there was a few things I just needed to be ironed out and I knew they weren't great. And if you pair it like not being great, plus somebody not being super techie, you're in for a big disaster. And so I took some feedback and I was like, you know what? I need to like level this up. I need to move it. So I moved my Her Time of the Month membership to a different site, different platform altogether. And it is so much nicer. Things are moving so nice. Looking at the actual course content is a lot nicer and just easier. I've added more value to that. But something I'm super excited to start to offer is doing Her Time community sessions. So just being able to sit at the end of the month, I'm planning to do Sundays at like 6 at the end of the month and talk about a topic and just go through that and really not do the typical like teacher student type of situation where I'm lecturing or teaching on a topic, which is what I do a lot of, but just sitting down and having an agenda, but sitting down and letting women share and fostering that community, I think is important. You and I have talked about these types of things a lot lately, and I just wanted to do this and didn't really know how best to execute it. So this is what we're doing. They're not going to be recorded. A lot of the other content we're doing for the program, for the membership, is recorded so that you can watch it. But this is going to be very like confidential. Whoever's there is part of that space, and whoever's not can jump on the next time.
I love that. I'm so looking forward to selfishly participating myself as well. I recently ran through the period passport program of yours, and it took me a little bit to get there because, you know, there's been so much on my plate too, but it was incredible. Like, I learned so much. I think the value there is just insane. And I can't wait to see how Her Time of the Month plays out too, because I know there's just, you have so much knowledge, and you make it so easy to understand. Like, you really, I don't want to say dumb it down because that sounds horrible, but you make it very, very simple for people who don't, you know, don't have 100 years of school under their belt like you do.
Well, I appreciate that, because my number one career was always teacher. So
well, now you get to do that and be a naturopath.
Yeah. So I love sharing information. I love being knowledgeable. I love making women knowledgeable, because I know for me, when someone tells me to do something, I'm like, okay. But if they tell me why, now I'm
right. It's to empower them, yeah. Right?
If I know why, then I'm like, oh, so this is what I'm impacting. This is how I'm moving the needle. Like, my dentist, if they tell me to use, like, I'm just using that because I just went to the dentist. I'm not like, you know. If they tell me to use a soft toothbrush, I'm like, eh, we'll see. If they tell me to use an electric toothbrush, I'm like, I don't know, maybe. But if they tell me why, how it's going to prevent or impact my teeth, or how it's going to, like, I have genetically predisposed gum recession and it's awful. So for me, I have to be super, super careful with hard toothbrushes and like really brushing up, and there's really nothing I can do about it. Braces and grinding my teeth has like made things really bad. But there's things that I can do to prevent it. And if I know those things are going to prevent that, then I'm like, I'm in. So I think that's kind of the mentality that I take. But anyways, enough about us. Let's get in. What do we have today? What are we talking about?
So I'm looking forward to this one because it's a me day. I get to chat. So we are going to talk all about self-talk and rewiring our brain. So I'm very much a brain nerd. For those of you who don't know, I would love to be a neurologist. Like, if I had like unlimited money and like someone to like support me, like educationally for a long, long time, I would go back to school and be a neurologist. I think I just love the brain. Anyways.
Ashley's looking for a support.
I said,
so any takers? Ashley's looking for a support financially. So
you can go back. No, I didn't mean financially. I meant education. Like, I need like a tutor. Tutor is what I meant.
Oh,
financially.
That's different. That's like different than what I thought.
Also need a financial supporter. But I also need a 24/7 tutor, because I don't think I'd be good at science, but nonetheless. Okay. So back on here. But yeah, if anyone wants to support me financially, I'm okay.
That's also okay.
Totally on the table.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm distracted here. So self-talk and rewiring our brains. So this is something that I talk about with my clients all the time. I talk about it actually with people in my life as well that aren't clients, but that are, you know, family, friends, whatever. What's really cool about the brain, it's super complex. as I think we all can kind of understand. And we really don't know that much about it. Like, we're still learning about it so much. But what we know is that it can grow and it can develop over time. So at first, science thought that by like 30, our brains were developed. Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you, based on the men that I've dated, not developed by 30. They're not.
They need more time.
They need more time. But all jokes aside, we know now that they grow and they develop throughout our entire lifetime. They don't stop growing at a certain age. And what's really cool about that fact is that we have the power in ourselves to make some really cool positive changes. Specifically in my work, a lot of those changes come around self-talk, how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about the world, and how we engage with the world. Obviously, the ability to rewire our brain and to grow and develop different parts of our brain can be helpful in so many different areas. Like if you know, there's brain injury or any sort of, you know, trauma within the body, those types of things can be very helpful, but that's not where I focus. So what's really interesting is that the brain, just by changing our thoughts, okay, so our thoughts are so powerful in a sense that when we change our thoughts, we're actually able to take control of our heart rate, our blood pressure, and it also impacts our immune system. So it's not just how we're thinking about things, it's how our body is physically reacting. Like, it's crazy to me. And it's so impactful, and it's such a big thing. So one of the things that usually is something that comes up really early with my clients is self-talk. So self-talk is literally how we talk to ourselves in our head, pretty much, right? Those constantly recurring themes that we're seeing, how we feel about ourselves, how we, you know, speak to ourselves about ourselves, our experiences, our surroundings, whatever that looks like. So for example, someone with a positive, you know, self-talk, that internal dialogue is going to be very healthy. It's going to be, you know, telling yourself that you're strong, you're capable, you're able to do things that you want to do, you're a good partner, you're a good friend, those types of things. Mm-hmm. Someone with negative self-talk is going to have more of that, I'm not good enough, I'm not capable, I can't accomplish this, those types of things. Does that make sense so far, Laura?
Yeah. And I think a lot of this I'm thinking about myself, but I'm thinking a little bit about imposter syndrome. Like, that's where mm-hmm. a lot of that comes in. We doubt ourselves. And I think it's a lot of, there's been a lot of mindset shifts that I've had to do, but my self-talk is not perfect. And there are days when it is bad. And I think that's probably speak for everyone who's resonating with this, who says it's very hard to change.
Very hard. Mm-hmm. It's challenging because we've been brought up to think that we need to be a certain way, to look a certain way, to act a certain way. We've been told what success looks like, what success should feel like. And you're totally right, this imposter syndrome. So for people who don't know what imposter syndrome is, I mean, I don't have the definition in front of me, but ultimately it's when you don't feel like you're worthy of something. It feels like you're an imposter in a situation. So I'll give you an example that happens to me quite often, where we don't feel like we're worthy, like we have done enough, whether it be schooling or work or have enough experience to fit into that space. Mm-hmm. So when I get it a lot when I'm working and pitching to big corporations and businesses that I do some work with, like sitting in a space with these massive companies and these really, really successful people, usually old white men. I have that feeling where I don't belong here. Yeah. And this is
who am I to do X, or who am right. I to teach
who am I to think that I'm capable of this, you know? Yeah. And it's just that constant messaging. And it can happen too, not only in the business world, but as parents, I imagine, right? You know, that feeling of not only that negative self-talk around your ability as a parent, but, you know, again, who am I to think that I can raise, you know, a successful young person, you know, all of these kind of things that come up. So you know, we could go through this for hours about all the patterns in our thoughts that we see. I think the biggest thing is, one, that we all do it. We all have these cycles of thoughts and these patterns and these themes that come up that are quite often negative. But what's really cool about the brain is that we can actually make some really good changes. So something that I talk to almost all of my clients about is how we rewire it. So it's not easy, it's challenging, but it's simple. So there's kind of a difference here and you'll see why. So it's a simple technique, but it's not necessarily easy. So how I explain kind of the rewiring of the brain is that if you think of driving to work, so it's a little bit different now because, you know, we work from home, but
driving to the dentist.
Let's do something a little bit better that you go to often. So let's say you're driving to the grocery store. Okay. We still go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
You are driving that route quite often, not thinking about it. You know where the turns are, you know where the stoplights are, you just drive, right? And then we get there and a lot of the times we're like, how did we even get here? Like, I didn't even really pay attention, right? You just go down the same route at the same time every single day. Yeah. Well, not every day, but if you were going to work, that's what I usually say.
Yeah.
Every single day down that road, getting to where you need to be. It is just like our thought processes. When we go down the same route consistently, we do it subconsciously. We don't think about it. It just happens and it happens quickly. And then we get to the end point and we're like, shit, we're here again.
Yeah. How did I get here?
Right. How did we get here?
Yeah.
But what we can do is just like taking a different route to the grocery store, you can help your brain take a different route. So to get to the grocery store now, you may have to turn left instead of turning right. You may have to, you know, take a different turn, go a different route, a different speed. But what you're doing is you're being extremely mindful on your drive so that you can get there.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're mindful, you are paying attention to each little piece, each little new stop sign, each, you know, piece of traffic that comes your way. And then you get there and you're like, okay, I'm here. That's exactly what we need to do when we're rewiring our brain. We need to be super mindful. We need to take it a different direction. And the more that we do that, the more it's going to happen without even thinking about it. Because if we take that route to the grocery store consistently, it's going to become like we're not even thinking about it again, right? Is that making sense?
Yeah, and I think some of the things I'm relating to this are like forming good positive habits. So things like drinking water and moving your body becomes second nature, becomes like an activity that you do automatically. But I think when we're not being mindful, and like, it's scary when I get somewhere and I'm like, wait, how did I get here? Right? Like it's dangerous. And driving is just one thing. I feel like we're on autopilot. A lot of the times I find myself on autopilot when I'm too busy answering my emails and my son is like trying to play, or I'm doing five things at once, or I have 52 windows open. I think lately I've done something that I've been trying to be more mindful in just the tasks I'm doing when it comes to work even. Have you ever heard of the Pomodoro method?
No.
So the Pomodoro method is basically, I don't know who made it up, but it's basically doing things in 25 minute increments of time and doing nothing else. I am the person that puts up like 25 windows and I'm like back and forth and my email is always up. And for those of you listening, like I am only answering my emails specific times of the week because it's too much to like dive into these rabbit holes and I'm not being mindful and present in the specific task I'm doing. So I give myself a Pomodoro, a 25 minute. I learned this in a business class that I'm taking. And I set my alarm. And if in 25 minutes it goes off and I still need it, I need to see if I can commit to 25 minutes. If I can't, I move to the next task.
And
so that's what I've been trying to do to really get into that, because I find it makes me not only more mindful, but more productive. Like I've had such productivity issues because I'm just doing a little bit of everything all day, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, keeping our brain on one path can be very helpful. And another thing about this, you know, the ability to rewire our brain is that, so neuroplasticity, so that's the term for this, is the fact that the brain is plastic, so to speak, and can be molded, and it can change. But what's really cool about this is that practice ultimately makes perfect, practice makes perfect. Is that the normal saying? Yes. Why, when I say it out loud, does it sound weird? Confirm don't that
you,
that's correct.
Don't you hate that? You have like a brain, like, what is going on? I can't say that word. I have that happens to me when I'm like spelling a word out. I'm like, wait, is this the word?
Okay. So practice makes perfect.
Yep.
Okay. So everyone just needs to understand it's 4 p.m. At 3 p.m. I was so tired. I didn't think I was going to be able to get off my chair. So the fact that I'm here and we're talking about neuroplasticity is a win. So just be patient with me.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, so practice makes perfect. So the more that we do something, whether it be a habit, like you said, or a thinking pattern, we're going to see more success in it. Yep. So I want to give you an example. And there are some examples on my Instagram as well for you to check out. I made a post about it not too long ago of different ways that we can change our self-talk and make it more positive. So let's take a common theme that I see quite often of I'm not worthy. Okay. That's something that comes up a lot. So whether it be, I'm not worthy of the success I have, I'm not worthy of love, I'm not worthy of, you know, this new job, whatever it looks like, but we're going to go with I'm not worthy. Mm-hmm. So the idea of I'm not worthy comes up so, so often. Often we're just going down that route to the grocery store every single time. We end up there and we're like, holy shit, I've been spiraling in this I'm not worthy moment and I haven't caught myself. So what we need to start doing is we need to start catching ourselves early so that we can change the route. We can take a different turn. So what I usually like to ask my clients, and this is something that we kind of work through together, is what are these common themes we're seeing? Okay. How do we talk to ourselves, and what are some of the kind of problematic thinking patterns that we're seeing? So what we're going to do then is we're going to come up with the truth to that situation. So obviously saying I'm not worthy is not true. We are absolutely worthy, regardless of who we are, what our past is, what we've done. We are worthy. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do is, one, we need to look at, okay, is it fact? Chances are the negative thinking patterns we have are not fact. They're very much fiction. So once we identify that they're not true, we need to then look at, okay, so what is true? The truth in I'm not worthy is that I am worthy, or I am loved, or I am really good at my job. Whatever kind of the opposite of that thinking pattern is, we're going to use that. So let's say, just for simplicity's sake, it's going to be I am worthy. Okay. So anytime that we start to see ourselves going down that I'm unworthy path, we need to stop it. Now, this is really hard to do because it happens so quickly.
Yep.
So what I always tell people is, if you can't catch yourself and you all of a sudden end up at the grocery store and you're thinking I'm unworthy, do not get upset. Do not get down on yourself. Do not get, you know, don't feel worse. Don't feel guilty. That is part of the process, because the worst thing you can do when you're trying to, you know, change your thinking patterns to something more healthy is to add more guilt and stress to yourself, right?
I feel like when we have, so I'm going to give like a physical example. So if I'm working with someone through diet and they, I don't know, have a burger, they weren't supposed to eat fast food and they go out and have fast food, I feel like we're so much more likely to forgive ourselves for doing something physical or not doing something physical that we weren't supposed to than mental. Like if we have a thought, we are more likely to hold ourselves like, or to feel guilty or to think it's true or to anything else. Then I feel like we feel, or at least my patients, when it's like, oh, I forgot to drink water. Oh, well, or I ate fast food and I wasn't supposed to, like, it's fine. But if we have a thought, I feel like the thought almost becomes more intrusive than the physical.
Well, it's so tied to our identity.
Yeah.
Right? Or, you know, water intake and fast food intake is very, that can also external. Be tied to our identity sometimes, but it's very external to us.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The thoughts that are happening within are very much, you know, deeply connected to our self-worth.
Yeah.
So, just thank you for sharing that, but just to kind of bring us back for a second. no, it's fine. I just want to finish my thought before I lose.
Sorry.
I think I may have already lost it. No. Mm-hmm. So with the I'm not worthy piece. So what we want to do is we want to catch ourselves, going down this rabbit hole, so to speak. Now, this is going to take time and it's going to take practice, but the more that we do it, the easier it's going to get. So what I typically tell my clients is, like I said, don't feel guilty or bad or stressed or angry if you get to the end of the road here and you're in that I'm unworthy state. What I want to happen is for you to look back a few steps and say, where could I have caught this earlier, mm-hmm. right? Typically, there's a trigger point, but it happens so quick that we don't even notice it anymore. Mm-hmm. So with things like I'm unworthy, often there's going to be a trigger point of something. So let's say maybe you don't get a text back from someone. I don't know, just like super simple.
Not me. Asking for a friend.
Yeah, totally not me. I always get text back. This is not a problem I have ever. Nothing to do with my personal life. So yeah, anyways, all those people not text me back, you should text me back.
Same though. It's not just like a relationship problem, like hi friends.
So let's say someone doesn't text you back. You don't realize that that's triggering your I'm unworthy kind of trigger, but it is. And then, you know, 20 seconds, it's happened so quick, not even 20 seconds. You are in that I'm unworthy because this and that, and this and that, and you're compounding all of these little things that have happened into one big thing and you feel like shit. Mm-hmm. So what you need to do is you need to pull yourself back and say, okay, when this happened, I felt unworthy. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the more that we can stop and identify where these things are happening, the easier it will be for us to change our route. So next time someone doesn't text you back, you're going to then think, instead of quickly going to I'm not worthy, it's going to be quickly to they must be busy, or I don't want to talk to them anyways, or you know, they'll get back to me when they can. Whatever those little things are that are truth, we need to get ourselves back to the truth. And I think we need to catch it so quick. It's really challenging to do that.
What I was going to say is I think that, and I don't know if this is like a whole other thing, but thinking about these automatic thoughts and these automatic reactions, I think of when a patient or maybe a client for you or whatever else reacts in a certain way or says a certain thing, I have been working on really dealing with that myself, because oftentimes we had a conversation today that we're not going to talk about, but, just how the way people react is a reflection of how their internal beliefs and their self-talk. And so if someone sent you a message or an email or said something, you, based on your automatic thoughts, your core beliefs, all of these things, you're going to automatically think that what they said goes to this category of things or means this category of things, but they're saying it from their core beliefs, which are probably different than yours. So I think that really from a practitioner standpoint or from a person who works with other people or even from a relationship perspective, how do we navigate that and our automatic thoughts to what let's start with just our thoughts to what someone has said to us.
It really comes down to our ability to regulate ourselves. And this is actually a really cool thing that you brought up, is this regulation piece. So I'm going to do a little bit of a kind of a push here for something that I'm working on. So self-talk and regulation are something that I talk about a lot with all of my clients, pretty much. And what I've actually decided and I've realized is that there's about six core things that I talk to all of my clients about, ranging from self-care to self-talk to sleep to regulation and co-regulation to developing resiliency and beyond. And what I've done now is I'm in the process of creating a course, a six module course that will actually go through all of these things. So all of the kind of really important foundational pieces to mental health and whole body wellness will be covered in this course and allow people to work through on their own time and at their own pace with still having access to me. So kind of a really cool thing that I'm working on, just to plug it in there.
Yeah, no, I'm super excited for that. And I don't know what your core modules are. So I'm excited to get a little
sneak. Yeah, I haven't even shared them with you yet. So anyways, so regulation is one of them. So we'll bring it back to that for a second. So regulation and co-regulation. So how do we regulate our emotions? And co-regulation is a whole nother thing. So we're not going to get into that. Mm-hmm. But when we are, it could be parents, partners, practitioners working with people. Anytime that you have an interaction with another person, we have to be regulating ourselves. Mm-hmm. So this is something that I was taught. It was drilled into our heads when I was in school about how do we regulate? Because in my role, I hear a lot of shit. Mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of things over my 8 years in this field, that if I was to show on my face or my body, when I'm being told it, it would not be nice. Right. Okay. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to get into specifics, but you know, you can only hear such horrific things and not react. Right. But what we're taught is how to regulate our bodies. So first of all, we have to physically regulate. So when you're sitting in front of someone, we need to make sure that our energy is staying somewhat stable, because the second our client or patient or child or partner starts to elevate, typically our body's response is to elevate with it. Mm-hmm. Whether that be if they're, you know, emotionally sad or they're angry or they're frustrated, they're telling us something really traumatizing, typically, you know, they rise, we rise. Mm-hmm. What we need to do is we need to stay stable so that we can encourage their energy to come back down. That's really hard. The first thing is physically, right? So no reactions on our faces.
What I was going to say, and I think physically, I just think, right, I think my toddler. Like, I think of just reacting to my toddler.
Right, yeah. And you have to remain, can you imagine if your toddler was screaming at you and you're like, right back at them?
That's me some days.
Yeah, and that's fine. But like, I think after you're like, shit, I don't know if that really helped anything. But what we need to be doing when we're interacting with someone who's getting heightened is we need to remain low ourselves. So first of all, our facial reactions, we want to do our best not to react facially. When I was first in school, it was really hard when we were learning. And what I found is I was actually clenching my jaw so bad. And still to this day, when I do in-person support, I do have a hard time sometimes because I'll clench because it keeps everything in, right? It's like where all my, like, I want to move my face. I want to, you know, show some sort of reaction in some situations, because it's hard not to. I'm not a friggin' stone cold bitch.
Yeah.
So I'll hold it in my I'll hold it in my jaw. Anyway, so we have to make sure facially we're good. The rest of our body, like our heart rate, for example, this is where breathing comes into play. This is where grounding comes into play. I will always, and this is something I do a lot, specifically when I'm in-person sessions, I'll put my 2 feet on the floor. I'll feel my feet grounded. I'll imagine roots coming through. I think I've talked about this before, roots coming through the bottom of my feet into the ground. It makes me feel really grounded. Internally though, it's a whole nother story. Mm-hmm. First of all, we need to remain present with them, right? We can't instantly be like off in our own world dealing with whatever they've just told us, or, you know, if they've pissed us off or if they've triggered something for us, we can't go there right now. This is their time. And I think that's a really important thing. And I mean, anyone listening, if you're a helper of any sort, hopefully you've had some training on this. We need to work through our own shit so that we're not being triggered constantly. Right. But it's still going to happen. It's just, we're humans, like we can't turn that off. But what we need to do is we need to remember this is their time, so we're going to get through this time, we're going to do it effectively, we're going to give them what they deserve. And then after, typically there needs to be a debrief. So I know you and I have had some debriefs before. We just, anyone listening, don't worry, like confidentiality is always respected. We also work together, so there's confidentiality built into that. But having that debrief moment where we're like, hey, like that was really hard for me. Can I, you know, talking through that, what does that look like? And making sure that you're identifying what did that trigger for me and how next time can I do better? Where can I stop that initial kind of thought process or that spiral. Does that make sense? I just went on a very long tangent, but I think that hopefully was helpful for some.
No, yeah, yeah. And I think, I guess, so in person, this makes sense. But what about getting, like, so I understand the in-person and like giving that space and all the things, but let's look into the virtual world and like the 2021 where we're mostly emailing and texting and we're doing a lot of messaging. How do you, maybe it's not a client or a patient, like let's just talk about anyone we're speaking to. How do we navigate a response? We have a thought, we're automatically in a place where we're like, they hate me, that was rude, that was, how do you get out of that space and formulate a response that's not putting your own stuff on top of everything that they're probably not even meaning? Your intention?
Yeah, I think that's really hard. I think, first of all, always stepping away, taking some time and evaluating why you feel the way that you do. Does it make sense? Is it rational? Is there fact to it? Did you kind of spiral it out of control a little bit, maybe in your own head? Because a lot of the times we do that. I know sometimes, like with you and I, we'll bounce things off of each other. So we'll say, this is what happened. Like, what do you think? Is this fair? Did this, you know, how did this go? And ultimately taking some time to reflect before you respond. Don't respond in the moment. Are you kidding? Mm-hmm. You know, we shouldn't be doing that. And then also remembering that we can't control other people's reactions. We can only control our own. So how someone receives and perceives how we engage with them, that's on them. As long as you're coming from a good intended place, that's all you can do. And you're going to have to just accept that and deal with it. Mm-hmm. If something is then to come up that is, you know, really needs to be handled and dealt with, I don't know what the secret is. I feel like I'm really good at it, but I don't have a secret to it.
I'll always tell Laura,
I'll write your email for you if you want.
Yeah, like, should I just get somebody to write? No, I'm just kidding. There's not a lot of situation. I just know that it comes up, especially in a practitioner, client, even like relationship, husband, wife, friend, and especially because we're communicating so much virtually now. And that's why I honestly, you and I do voice notes all the time. I love voice notes, honestly, because it saves you from making a phone call that's going to be 1 second. Like, it's like an annoying thing to be like, hey, okay, bye. But it's a good way to just show intonation, to show how you mean things. I feel like it gets my point across because I hate texting. I hate typing. I'm very to the point. I'm not trying to like exclamation, ha, LOL. Like, if you know me, I do like the laughing emoji a lot, which I've also heard isn't cool anymore and I'm over it and I don't care.
I don't even want to talk about it. It's my favorite emoji and my most used.
Yeah, me too.
You're not taking that from me. No. I have a center part that's, they leave me with the emoji.
Yeah, you do have the center part. I don't. But yeah, no, I use that emoji and I do audio because I like that. I like my voice to be in it so people can understand how I'm saying something and you can really get a lot from somebody's voice versus that. So I like having that piece and email doesn't allow you to have that piece. So even on Instagram messages, a lot of times I'll just throw on a voice note because I don't want to word it in a way that they're going to take it a weird way or you know what I mean? So I think that's really important.
Sure. Yeah, I think it is. And again, it all comes down to this idea of self-talk too, because it's when we get something, when we receive a text, when we don't receive a text, when we, you know, have an interaction with someone, it's where is our brain going first, right? So it all comes back to that. Is our brain being, you know, offended first? And why is it being offended first? How do we work on that? What is the trigger? Is our brain being, you know, shamed? Are we feeling shame? How did we get there? So what it is it's stopping ourselves and saying, okay, how did I get to that point? And then we go back a few steps, we look at the trigger, and then we say, okay, next time I'm going to try to be more mindful of this trigger. And then it may take 100 times before you actually identify it right off the bat, but at least you're getting there. It's practice. It's taking this different route as many times as you can before it becomes second nature, right?
What are some things that we can starting with self-talk, just in general? How can we start talking to ourselves so it feels authentic? Because I think a lot of times it doesn't feel authentic when we're trying to change the messaging.
I think at the beginning, it's not going to feel authentic. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I think we are changing years and years and years of things that have been, we've truly believed. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example. Something that I have worked on for a long time and felt very inauthentic at the beginning was around my body. So what I would do, I would find that when I got out of the shower, I was moisturizing, I was self-tanning, whatever I was doing. It was so easy to go down the route of, I hate my body, or there's something wrong with my body. I don't like this piece. I don't like that piece, whatever it is. Right. Because you're just there and you're looking at it. And it seemed to be that mirror that was the problem. The rest of my life, it wasn't really that much of an issue. Right. But when I was in front of the mirror, kind of in a different positions, trying to moisturize and stuff, I was like, ah.
All the crevices.
Right. I'm like, I don't like this. But then what I started to do is I literally started to force myself. Force. There was nothing authentic about it. Mm-hmm. I literally just started saying to myself, you know, like, belly, I love you. Like, thank you. Like, awesome. And I know this sounds super cheesy and like ridiculous. But the more that I did it, the more it became normal. And now when I look in the mirror, when I'm self-tanning, I'm like, yeah, like I definitely, you know, COVID has hit me hard, but it's okay. Like, and it took time and it took really uncomfortable things. And obviously it ebbs and flows. Some days are easier than others, but like now it's a more normal feeling and a more normal experience to say nice things to my body instead of mean things.
Yeah. It's like your body is what takes you from place to place. Your body gets up in the morning, your body absorbs your nutrients and all the things. So.
Exactly. So anyways, I think hopefully a really kind of cool episode for people. I don't even know how much time we've spent talking about this, but we want to make sure that it's not too long for people. But so one thing to remember is that I do have some self-talk, like rewiring and changing some self-talk patterns on my Instagram. So check that out. The new program that I'm developing is coming really soon. So that'll be really cool. If you want a sweater, get in contact with me. Yeah. I hate pushing things. I feel very salesy right now. It doesn't feel authentic to me, but hey, I think these things have a lot of value to you. So I want to make sure that you're getting access to them.
I agree. Well, this has been the Well Women podcast. Thank you so much, Ashley. It was very informative. I know I learned a lot and there's a lot of things that I need to start putting into practice, practicing what you preach.
Same girl. Don't worry. Like, I hope no one thinks that I do this perfectly because I do not. But I try. Yeah. We all just gotta try.
All we can do. Thank you guys. Don't forget to subscribe, rate and review. It helps us out. Check us out on Instagram and all the places. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.